Scripture reading for this morning will be Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Matthew 7, 1. Judge not, that you be not judged.
You did good. Always size up the amount of Scripture to be read by the people who read it. Direct full through once again. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good to see everyone. Please mark that in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. To the Bible out, we're going to be looking through the Gospels this morning. I want you to follow along and see if what we talk about, what we say is the truth of God. We're glad that you're here this morning, as is with other holidays that we usually have. We usually level out pretty well. We've got a lot of visitors. We're glad you're here this morning. You're an honored guest. We do invite you back at each and every opportunity that you have to be here to worship God with us. In spirit and in truth is how we worship God. As we are instructed, we need to have the right attitude when we worship God. God only accepts that, plus only the right information. What's written in the Word of God with how He wants to worship Him is going to be approved worship from God. We try to do that here each and every time we assemble here. Some of you might know that first time I've been up here for a while, we've been at the Cleveland Clinic Hilton for a couple of weeks, and you know, four out of the five doctors that we were engaged with Jeannie's situation, their name was Muhammad. I didn't know the Cleveland Clinic was such a melting pot, a cultural melting pot. The lady that cleaned our room was from Romania, and she would come in every morning and say, "I'm so hippie to be in America, and I'm hippie to be there, and we're all hippies." Some days I was unhippie, and we had a good rapport with about everybody up there, because after you're up there 2 or 3 weeks, you get to know just about everybody. But I would appreciate the prayers and have appreciated the things that were done, the signs of the show of generosity to Jeannie has been overwhelming to us, and I've seen a lot of good things from this congregation over the years that we've been here, but first-hand experience is nothing like it. Thank all of you. And please continue to remember her in your prayers, because she's in a situation where we have to get through some things before we can go on to some other things. So we've got a road to go with some things that she's dealing with. So, Matthew 7:1, Jesus simply says there, "Judge not that you not be judged." What is the great sin in our world today? What is the great sin in our world today? Nathaniel Hawthorne may have come out with a big scarlet A and said adultery is the big sin of the world today, but I believe the world today would come out with a big J. Judgment. Judgmental. Being judgmental is the great sin of the day. Over and over again, we hear people just talk about how bad it is to judge people. "Don't you judge me. You're so judgmental. You know, you better make sure your life's perfect before you're going to judge my life. You better make sure your life's lined up before you make a judgment call about my life. If you're going to judge people, you know what? When you judge people, you're not going to have time to love people, are you? If you're judgmental." Don't be so judgmental. There is no end to discussion about how bad being judgmental is, or judging others is. And there's no end to the slogans and the mottos. All our world, our society is down on judging. Our world has all sorts of difficulties with judging. Our world doesn't care much for judging. And when you get to talking to people about judging, I'll tell you where a lot of the wrath rains down. It rains down on Christianity. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I saw a statistic here. I'm not trying to find it. The most dominant view of Christians today is that they're a judgmental lot, that they're judges. And according to study here, I'll look it up, ages 16 to 29, 90% of the respondents articulated that opinion of Christians, that they're judgmental. There's the big scarlet judge. "Don't judge me, man. Don't you judge me." That's what people want to say about Christians. Now, if people say that about Christians in general, what do people say about members of the Church of Christ? If you've been part of a situation where you're in that kind of circumstance, maybe Christians are all gathered and huddled around together. It's kind of a us versus the world, and we're all teamed up together now talking about things. Then in the middle of all that, you announce, "You know what? I'm a member of the Church of Christ." What happened? They turn on you. They'll turn on you, and you people that took the Christ, you're so judgmental. That's right, most judgmental church. The most judgmental church is the church of Christ. You don't believe in you. You condemn everybody that's got a band. You don't have an instrument of music in the place you worship, and you're always judging people on things like social grouping, and you're always judging people on dancing and modesty, what y'all wear, and women, well, they can't even preach in the church of Christ. You know what? And they told me if I'm not in their church, I'm not even saved. If I'm not part of the church of Christ, I'm not even saved. And you know what? I believe that once a man's saved, he's always saved. He can't be lost. They don't believe that. They judge me on that. What's the deal with the church of Christ? You people! So judgmental. So judgmental. Morning, I want to address that particular aspect of our life. I want to look at that. I do want to deal with that question. Why is the church of Christ so judgmental? Why is that? And in dealing with that this morning, I want to give maybe four or five good reasons to think about that, to consider those things. You know, you're talking to somebody and they're working that. They're down on you about that, and they throw out Matthew 7:1. Hey, listen, don't you judge. Judge not that you not be judged. That's everybody's favorite verse in the Bible. What can we do about that? What do you say about that? How do you respond to that? You know, ever since I've been preaching the gospel, I've been telling people that when they find out that I preach to the Church of Christ, all churches of Christ here comes, a bunch of judgmental people. You preach for the Church of Christ. Sometimes it's people that's never entered the doors of the Church of Christ, never assembled in the service of the Church of Christ, never worshiped with brethren. But yet they shovel all that out. You're just a bunch of condemning people. You folks think you are so right. You're so judgmental. And what about that? God asked us to get to the answer to that, I think. You know, when you think about that, you know, if you're at work and somebody says, where do you go to church? You know, before you answer, you go to the Church of Christ. You know what to do? You put your helmet on. You dig the foxhole because you know what? It's going to rain down on you. It's going to rain down on you. And they're just going to start on. So, I'm going to give you some ideas and some thoughts this morning about being judgmental and about maybe how to respond to that. Let's all think together about that. You know, if someone says that you're so judgmental, I guess on the outset, could I ask, do you have a plan? You know, we live our lives just kind of haphazardly, you know, as a Christian sometimes. Do you have a plan what you can say to someone that looks at you and says, you're about the most judgmental person I've ever seen in my life. Don't you know you're not supposed to judge? Judge not, do not be judged. That's what the Bible says. How do you respond to that? What would you say to that? Have you thought about that? Do you think about that? Now, what I want you to do is, I want everybody to reach in their wallet right now, reach into your purse, and pull out the Church of Christ membership card. Pull that. What? That's right, you don't have one. It wasn't given to you. Because there's not a worldly headquarters. There's not a test you take. There's not an exam you take. There's not anything like that makes you an official Church of Christ member, is it? There's not. We don't have one. Nobody's got one. But now what that means is that anybody, and everybody, what they can do is they can say that I'm a part of the Church of Christ. Yes, they can. Anybody and everybody out there can say that they're a part of the body of Christ and that they're a Christian, even though a lot of folks don't have any idea what the Bible says that it takes to be a Christian or what a Christian is. But folks can still make that claim. Anybody and everybody can make that claim. It doesn't change the fact that folks can still go around and represent themselves as being a Christian. Because people do that. That means that you're going to have people who do and say jerky things, tacky things in the name of Christ around you. Now I want to tell you something. That's not new. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus tells us that there have always been people who use religion to put themselves down, others down, to make themselves feel superior. Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. He says this, but, he says, Matthew 23, verse 5, but they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and solicit the tassels of their garments. He's talking about the Pharisees. They love the place of honor, of banquets and the chief seats in the synagogue, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. You know, that's not new. That happens in religion a lot. That people puff themselves up and make themselves higher than they should be. And of course, by the way, it doesn't just happen only in religion. They're court snobs. They're wine snobs. There are art snobs. There are snob snobs everywhere out there, aren't there? There certainly is. There are people who think that they're better than other people. And that's certainly true when it comes to religion. And there are going to be Christian snobs. Yeah. There are Christian snobs who think, because they're a Christian, and I use that term loosely, who think because they're a Christian that their whole function in life is to go around being a jerk and being harsh. And being mean, and being hateful, and pointing out every single thing that you're doing wrong, and all of those sorts of things. And of course, there's really not much we can do about that, because legally we can't shoot those people. So all the best we can do is just apologize for their behavior, and we can go on and really live like a Christian ought to live, because Christianity's about love. Christianity's about love, it's about care, it's about compassion for others. That's what Christianity is about. Galatians chapter 6. We see folks who are wrong, who are not doing the right thing. What do we want to do? Look what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, something wrong, you who are spiritual, restore such a one again in the spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too, he says, will not be tempted. In fact, Christians, that's what we do. That's what we must do. Paul says in Ephesians 4 that we do what? Speak the truth in love. Now, when I say that, we must never let our commitment to speak the truth, never let your commitment to speak the truth overpower the way we speak the truth. Did you get that? How are we to speak the truth in love? But this business about speaking the truth in love, it leads to the point, I think, even further to think about this business. Why is the Church of Christ so judgmental? And because we're oftentimes, I think, that we're saying things that are counter to what everybody out there is saying. We say and preach and practice and teach things here that are counter to what everybody else is saying, preaching, teaching, and doing. What's up with that? But why is that? Why do we do that? Why are we so judgmental? Maybe I ought to be. And I want to ask the question. Is it okay to be like Jesus? You know, I'll tell you what. This image of Jesus that's been circulating around, that he just went around and he was just the nice to everybody, and that he never raised his voice, and that he was so sweet, and he just went around talking and handing out rainbows, just awesome. That's not what the Bible says about our Lord. That's not all about Jesus. Let's look at John chapter 2. Let's look at the Jesus of John 2. Let's try that on for size. John chapter 2, Jesus arrived at the place of worship, the temple, and he found that it had been filled with business and commerce. Look what he did in verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found the temple, those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at the table. He made a scourge of cords and drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. He poured out the coins of money changers, overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away, stop making my father's house a place of business. That's pretty strong stuff. Can you envision Jesus doing that, making a whip, beating those guys, turning the tables upside down? We just read Matthew 23 where he's condemning the Pharisees. There's condemnation there. What about John 8? Let's look at John 8. Everybody knows the story of the woman taken in adultery, don't they? How she was caught in the very act, and the men brought the woman to Jesus, and the Lord said, he is without sin. Yeah, there you go, Mr. Judgmental. Pick up the phone, Mr. Judgmental. Yeah, we know that story. But notice what Jesus said. Verse 10. John chapter 8, verse 10. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, he said, sin no more. Isn't that judgment? Isn't Jesus looking at the woman and saying, you need to change your life. You need to stop what you're doing, changing your life. This idea that Jesus walked around on the earth and just handed out get out of jail free cards and you can just live any way you want to live, do any way you want to do, have all kinds of sexual immorality in your life and everything's just fine, your behavior's fine. I want to tell you something, that's completely foreign to the Scripture. In fact, in Matthew 7, look at people who are what? Religiously wrong. Matthew chapter 7. And really, they're religiously wrong, and guess what? They're done it for us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It's a judgment scene. It's the last day. They're gathered for judgment, all of them. Not everyone, he says, will say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? The will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many, many wonderful works? Many wonderful miracles? Isn't that judgment? Here are people in this thing, right here, they're religious, they're active, religiously active. They're religiously sincere. They're religiously zealous. The folks are wrong. They're religiously wrong. And what happens here? They're judged by Jesus Christ. And because in Jesus' world, guess what? This might shock you. In Jesus' world, there's a right and wrong. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And Jesus never hesitates ever to tell somebody they're wrong. Never. That doesn't mean there's not a chance for redemption, for forgiveness, and for mercy. But forgiveness and mercy is predicated on repentance. And confession, that's the woman of the well, John 8. That's her. Jesus wants people to stop doing wrong and start doing what's right. That's what he wants. The bottom line is, Jesus Christ drew lines. Jesus called out sin. Jesus called sin for what it is. Do you know what it is? It's sin. If Jesus drew lines, let me ask you, should I abide in those lines? Shouldn't I draw the same lines that Jesus drew? If Jesus said something is wrong, shouldn't I say, hey, that's wrong? If Jesus said it's wrong, shouldn't I say it's wrong too? Shouldn't I? If Jesus said something to be sinful, if it's sinful and Jesus said something, who am I to change the judgment of the Lord? Who am I? Saying something is wrong, when Jesus said it's wrong, is not being judgmental. What it's doing is, it's simply repeating the judgment of the Lord. Did you get that? Saying something is wrong, when Jesus Christ said it's wrong, is not being judgmental. It's simply repeating the judgment of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. It's the judgment of the Lord. Can we be like Jesus? Can we say the things that Jesus said? Can we? As we're thinking about that a little bit, maybe one of the things that we ought to ask of those that accuse you of being judgmental, when exactly did all that change? Can somebody tell me that? You know what, when people call the Church of Christ out for being judgmental, usually it's on moral issues, a lot of moral issues. The strict stance on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We have that. We teach that. The stance on recreational use of alcohol, social drinking, discussing what to wear, how to worship God, the act of worship that we perform each and every Lord's Day. And of course, the instrumental music. That's the big one. That's the big one. But why do so many churches of Christ make such a big deal about all those things? Why? You know, sometimes I just think we just ought to get over it. You know, there are churches out there that have gone over, that are clear over all this stuff. That it's not a big deal. I know a church, and it's not a church of Christ, where the preacher got in the pulpit and drank a beer and laced the sermon with profanity. What? Why so judgmental? What'd you get over that? They got over it. Huh? I've seen your faces. Big deal. Get over that. Everybody drink a beer. You say something about that. What do you think, Shane? Because I'm going to tell you something. I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the memo. Because back in history, if you look back in history a little bit, every church in this country had the same moral stance that we have today. Did you know that? I want to be very clear about that. Just the fact that everybody had the same position and believed the same thing didn't make it right. That's not what I'm saying. We're not trying to argue because everybody said it, but that made it right. But I want you to go back a couple hundred years in any church in this country, a couple hundred years ago, and what are you going to find in the assembly? You going to find a woman preacher? No, you're not. You will not. Are you going to find people half-dressed, walking around half-naked? No. No, you're not. You going to find everybody getting a divorce? No, sir. No, you are not. No. I'm not finding anything like that. You know what? How about alcohol? How about social break? How about all those things in this country in 1920? The 18th Amendment was passed, made it illegal to produce and sell alcohol. And the big push behind that was that most, if not all, the churches were behind that to get that legislation pushed and passed, and it happened. Because why? Because all the churches were against alcohol. That's why. So when that changed. And really what we're saying is what everybody used to say. They don't say anymore. Because they got over it. You know, I don't know. Did the Lord send down more to the Bible? Is there an edition that I just missed? First American? Second American? I don't know. Where's it at? Where's the change that makes all this stuff right? We just didn't get it. How? When did that happen? Everybody used to say what we're saying and what we're preaching and what we're teaching. Why did everybody quit? Why? You want to talk about instrumental music? You know, there was a time where everybody believed that instrumental music was contrary to what God's Word said in worship. Charles Spurgeon, greatest Baptist preacher of all time. I want to quote him. Here's what Charles Spurgeon said about instrumental music in worship. I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. I would as soon pray to God with machinery as to sing to God with machinery. I wonder how that's doing. I wonder if people wind up at the door of these Baptist churches and say, hey, wait a minute now, you can't say stuff like that. That's pretty judgmental. John Calvin, reforming churches. John Calvin, we remember him. He's almost parallel with his quote with Scripture. Listen to what he says. Mechanical musical instruments in celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than burning of incense or the lighting of lamps and the restoration of the other shadows of the law, the Old Testament. Men who are fond of outward pomp may delight in that noise. He calls it noise. But the simplicity which God recommends, that's vocal singing, to us by the apostles, is far more pleasing to God. Judgmental much? Everybody talks about how great John Calvin was. What about his stance on instrumental music? What about that? What I'm actually saying to you is that the truth is, actually, we're standing really for historic Christianity. And when I say historic Christianity, I'm not reaching back to Calvin or Spurgeon or Luther. I'm reaching back to James, to John, to Paul, to Stephen, to Jesus Christ. I'm reaching back to New Testament history, New Testament Christianity. But there's no doubt that our understanding of many of these issues that we're talking about, that people get so bent out of shape about, I'll tell you what, that's exactly what everybody used to do and everybody used to say. Everybody used to hold the stand that we hold now on the issues that we're talking about. So why not now? And why are we the judgmental ones who are still standing for what the Scripture says that everybody else used to stand for and believe and practice and teach? Where's the memo? When and where did things change? Since we're asking for some help, maybe it's a good idea. You know, if you're talking to somebody and that comes up, hey, I'll tell you what. Here's a novel idea. Let's go to the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says. Because the Bible, and you look in the Bible, people talk about religious differences in the Scripture. And they debate that. And really, in religious matters, you know what we do today? Well, let's just agree to disagree. Because, and let's just be united in our diversity. God loves us all. Let's just do that. That's how people are into today. No. That's not what the Bible does. Acts chapter 17. Here's an apostle preaching. We're told to the folks in Berea. Look what happened. Verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. He says, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Here's folks that have an apostle preaching to them, and you know, as he's preaching, if he got off the written word, and you're wrong, wait, back up here. Let's see what the Bible says about that. They were very careful about what Paul preached. They wanted to make sure that what he preached was according to truth. And so they looked, that was the attitude. That was the attitude of the people in the New Testament world. In fact, you can find that in Galatians chapter 2. Let's add that. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Here's an example of an apostle who strayed away from the written word of God. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Cephas, that's Peter. Paul talking about him when he came to Antioch. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. I said, Peter, I said, hey, you've got a problem here. There are some things you need to work on. You're way off base when it comes to what the Bible says. I was stood into the face, say, I need to help you. We've got to talk about this. That is, in fact, mandated for all Christians. You know that? 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. Peter says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. You know what? Christians are expected to understand their faith. You know that? Not only are you expected to understand what you believe, but you're expected to take your finger and point to the Bible why you believe that and discuss that. And not only that, you know what? We're especially ready and willing and able to assist a brother and sister in Christ that needs our help. That's what he's talking about. That's what we do. That's who we are. Notice, of course, that those passages that we just read are what? Well, those are in Jesus' time. That's in Jesus' culture, not in our society today. We're not supposed to offend anyone. You can't offend anyone now. That's the society we live in now, and where someone would never dare to say to someone, are you sure about that? Are you sure about what you believe? It's what the Bible says. Could you be mistaken about that? Let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about what you're saying that you believe. Oh, don't you do that. In the Bible, people check. People look. People want to know what God had to say about things. They check. They study. In the Bible, people help each other to figure out what God wanted, what the truth was. And I tell you what, a lot of times they change their flight plans, if you will. You know why? Because everybody I read about in here wants to go to heaven. And if things need to change, they change. So, you know what? If we're off on instrumental music, drinking, dancing, apparel, women preachers, hey, let's get the Bible out. Let's get the Bible out and we'll study together. I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right. I want to do what God says to do. You know what? I do have convictions on these matters that I've been talking about. I'm not stupid. I've thought about it. I've looked into it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to talk about any and every single subject that is a Bible subject that has to do with your soul salvation. Because I'm going to tell you something. Everything written in here is a salvation issue. God didn't waste his time penning words that mean nothing. Everything in here is aimed at you to get you to heaven. It's serious business. And you know what? I'm ready to discuss anything. As long as it doesn't involve brown beans and cornbread, I don't know if I'd give that up. I'll say, well, I'd give that up. I'd give brown beans and cornbread. There's no holds barred. There's no non-negotiable. And because I really do want to do what's right with God. And I really do want to go to heaven. So let's study. You know what? If we both agree that God's Word is God's Word and that it comes from God, and we both agree that we need to follow God's Word and obey God's Word, and you know what? One of us is just missing. Now, we both might be wrong, but one of us, it can be wrong. All right? We both have the same position. Maybe we both missed it, but let's just see what the Bible says. Now, of course, this is where somebody comes in and says, I don't need to talk to you. I know what the church of Christ says. Good. All the better. If you know what's going on, you know what I'm going to say. You should be extra ready to show me where I'm wrong. Extra ready. What I'm hammering out here is our attitude toward the truth. Where are we? And really, because we studied the Bible and we come to believe these things, is that where your faith lies? Or is it lying in somebody else and you're just sitting in and going along with the flow? How is that with you? 2 Thessalonians. You know what? I need to remind you about the danger of having the wrong attitude when it comes to our faith. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, with all the deception, verse 10, of wickedness for those who perish, because why? They didn't receive the love of the truth. They didn't want the truth. They didn't love the truth. What's going to happen? For this reason, verse 11, God will send upon them deluding influence, so that they will believe what's false. That's what's going to happen. In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Well, if you don't want to believe the truth, you know what? We've got a problem. And we need to talk about it. That's what Paul's saying. You want to talk about 200 years ago when most of the churches in this country were all on the same moral ground and basically all believed basically the same thing. But I'll tell you what, you know what you found 200 years ago? You found people that were willing to discuss what God's Word said. You know that religious debates were so popular back in the day? They were. And they were so well attended. You know what? People wanted to know what God said about an issue. And people were very interested in it. Here's two guys that believe in the Bible. They've got opposing views about an issue. One of them's got to be wrong. I want to know which one's right. And people attended those debates, those discussions. It was very popular. Because people want to do what God said. Well, let's just see what the truth is. Why? I want to know what the truth is. Someone said, if you're so judgmental, I want to tell you something. Help. I want you to help me see what the Bible says. Let's sit down and talk about it. Please do that. Do that for me. Then maybe the last thing I would say is, you know what? Would you rather just be a hypocrite with all that? I also think about that. What's a hypocrite? Well, a hypocrite is a person who believes one thing and does something different, or says something different. And really, I guess here's where we are. I believe that the Bible teaches that instrumental music in worship service is wrong and contrary to the Word of God, and if you do it, your worship is vain. I believe that the Bible instructs us to protect the Lord's Supper each and every first day of the week, every one of them. If you miss, your worship is vain. You're not worshiping according to truth. I believe that the Bible says that baptism is essential to the salvation of your soul. I believe the Bible teaches that. That it is necessary for the remission of your sins. And that your sins are still with you. You're still dead in your sins until you have that act of obedience. I believe that's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible teaches that it's wrong for a woman to preach from the pulpit in mid-tongue. I believe it's wrong. I believe the Bible teaches that. What should I do about that? Keep my mouth shut? Never say anything about it? Never tell anyone about it? Just quietly go along and pretend everything's all right? Is that what I need to do? That'd be a pop. That's a pop. You know, it appears to me that there are some fundamental mistakes that are being made in the religious world out there. And should I say nothing about it? Nothing? You know, someone says, well, it appears to you, it's just your opinion. Of course it's just your opinion. It just appears to you. And you know what? That's where we're at in our country. You got an opinion, I got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got their own interpretation. You do what you want. I'll do what I want. We'll all go to heaven together. We're just on different roads. I do, you do, what you do. It's just like ice cream. You like chocolate. I like vanilla. You know, make a choice. No big deal. We're just attacking each other. I'm going to tell you how that goes. I'm on it. I get that. I get that deal. Just what I'm going to start believing. I'm going to start believing that gay marriage is okay. I'm going to start believing that homosexuality is all right. I'm going to believe that. And you know what? I'm going to add this. I tell you what, I think abortion's all right. Yeah. Yeah, let's preach that. Get one. Premarital sex, sexual immorality, you get pregnant, have abortion. Yeah. Yeah. Now, about the time I announced that gay marriage is all right, homosexuality is all right, abortion's all right, you know what's going to happen, though? Somebody's going to look up and say, you heretic. You call yourself a Christian? Believing that? Teaching that? Preaching that? You know why? What happened? What happened to all that talk? What happened to all that, hey, don't judge me. What happened to all that? If I have that position, well, what's your calling? You can't be judging me now. I'll tell you where it's at. Every single one of us have lines. Every one of us have lines. We have lines that we draw. It's okay to go a little bit, but now don't you go this far. Each and every one of us have lines that we've drawn. What about universal salvation? What about that? Why God's so merciful? He's just going to save everybody. Do you believe that? Is that what you believe? That as long as you're sincere in what you believe, that God's going to save you. Do you believe that? Wait a minute, now I want to draw a line. How about everybody? Hitler? Stalin? Who's God in heaven? Oh, no, I'm opening up. Oh, wait a minute, now you've gone too far. What did you just do? You just drew a line. Everybody draws a line. Everybody draws a line. Nobody's going to look at Adolf Hitler and say, thumbs up, he's in. Nobody. When you draw the line, I want to ask, are you being judgmental? Are you being judgmental when you draw the line? Are you not being tolerant? Can't you just be a little bit more tolerant? Stop drawing those lines. Maybe what we ought to do is get out our Bibles and see where God draws the line. See where God has drawn the line. Because it doesn't make any difference where you draw the line. It doesn't make any difference where I draw the line. What's important and what is vital is where God draws the line in His Word. And He drew the line in everything that pertains to our salvation. Well, what's God say is right? What does God say is wrong? What does God say you need to do to be saved? What does God say about that? What does God say about what He wants His church to do? What does God say about how He wants you to live and behave and act? What does God say about that? If God doesn't want women to preach, plus, I can't be up here saying, well, it's all up to women to preach. Just go ahead. And if God says that you need to be baptized in order to be saved, I can't be up here preaching. All you got to do is just write a little letter, have a little prayer in your heart, accept Jesus in your heart. It'll be just be saved. You'll be saved. I can't do that. God drew that line. I can't preach what's not in you. Please. Don't tell people to stuff their condition. Don't tell people not to say what they believe. Because doing that is hypocrisy. I'm afraid we just shut up. Oh, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to go there. They've got the wrong. We can't say anything. That's the country we live in. Instead of that, folks, we need to present the whole counsel of God at every opportunity that we have. Because souls are at stake. Eternity is at stake. People are being lost every single day to false teaching. The teachers that have itching ears, that are telling people what they want to hear and not what God has written down for them to obey. We cannot. I can't. I can't be silent about it. You know, I'd be hypocrite. But I'll tell you what, as long as we live, you know what people look at Matthew 7:1. Oh, I don't teach that. That's not what that verse means at all. We know that now. That's not what Matthew 7:1 means. And it's not meant to be a cloud, but you can be somebody over with and say, now don't you judge me, I can do what I want. That's not it. That's not what the Lord said. That's not what Jesus meant. So rather than judging from the truth of the Scripture and just passing that scarlet J onto somebody, judge her! Judgment off! How about let's just do what God's Word says? What the New Testament says? What the apostles have taught concerning your soul salvation? It's just that simple. Simple obedience? Not that simple, is it? Yes, it is. I want to close this morning with a very strong plea. I'll tell you something. We're all visitors here this morning. If you believe that we believe and teach and practice something here at Sandyville that's wrong, that's not in this book, that's not in this Bible, that's not in God's Word, I want you to tell me. There'll be men in the back. I want you to say, please, let's sit down and talk. Let's open up the Bible. Let's see this. Because I want to tell you something. If we're wrong in what we teach, believe, and preach, I want to stop. I want to repent. I want to change. Because I want to tell you something. I want to go to heaven. And I want everybody in the sound of my voice to go to heaven. And God's instruction is very plain about how to do that. Before Jesus ascended to heaven after his death, he looked at the disciples and he said, go into all the world and do this. Preach the gospel. What's the gospel? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you've not done that, you're lost. You are lost. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you've heard, regardless of how you've reasoned, regardless of where you drew the line. That's the gospel. Have you done it? Answer that question. Please come. As together we stand together.